and welcome to worship on this beautiful Easter Sabbath day. He is risen. He is risen indeed.
This morning, let us center our hearts and our minds with these words, and then I'll invite you to come along and pray with me. So this morning, let us turn our eyes to heaven. Turn your gaze to hope and to life, for in hope and life we find Jesus, the risen Christ, who shines in our midst with the light of heaven above. Let us pray. Risen Christ, enter our worship and our hearts this day. As you live and move among us, remind us to proclaim and live the life you offer. Inspire us to walk as children of your resurrection each and every day. Amen.
Good morning. Good morning, and happy Easter to everybody. Okay, today's scripture is from the CE Bible, Common English Bible, Psalm 118, verses 1 and 2, and verses 14 through 24. Give thanks to the Lord because he is good, because his faithful love lasts forever. Let Israel say it, God's faithful love lasts forever. The Lord was my strength and protection. He was my saving help. The sounds of joyful songs and deliverance are heard in the tents of the righteous. The Lord's strong hand is victorious. The Lord's strong hand is ready to strike. The Lord's strong hand is victorious. I won't die. No, I will live and declare what the Lord has done. Yes, the Lord definitely disciplined me, but he didn't hand me over to death. Open the gates of righteousness for me so I can come in and give thanks to the Lord. This is the Lord's gate. Those who are righteous enter through it. I thank you because you answered me, because you were my saving help. The stone rejected by the builders is now the main foundation stone. This has happened because of the Lord. It is astounding in our sight. This is the day the Lord acted. We will rejoice and celebrate in it. That is God's word for God's people. Amen. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you again for being with the ones whose names we have mentioned here today. Be with our leaders of the church and the country. Fill them with wisdom and help them in the decisions they make. God, we worship you. We love you. We pray to you. We sing about you. We read your word, and we know that you are an awesome God. You who sent your only Son to die for our sins, if only we accept this wonderful gift you have given us. You deserve all of our gratitude for what you have blessed us with. We know that the world is in desperate need of your love to penetrate each heart, that each one of us has to show more love for you and each other if our country is going to survive. So we pray today, Lord, on this Easter day, when we sing about you and hear about your resurrection, about your being alive today, about your nudge, when you nudge us, your knocking on the door of our hearts will not be ignored by any of us. Give us the courage to reach out to others who don't know you. Give us wisdom to know when and how to start conversations about you. Help us to focus on you today and always. We ask all of these things in the precious name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. Now, if you'll join me in the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Time, the ushers will be coming forward to collect this morning's tithes and offerings. During the course of this time, no matter how you choose to give, let me encourage you to give that which God is truly wanting, which is our hearts, willing and open for service for Him today, tomorrow, and moving forward. We give you gifts, O God, for you are good. You have been our help and hope, calling us to be help and hope for the world. You live among us, calling us to share life and love with all creation. Bless the gifts we bring before you, that they may be signs of your life, hope, and love. Amen. Our scripture reading this morning from the Gospel comes from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verses 1 through 10. After the Sabbath, at dawn on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the tomb. "Look, there is a great earthquake, for an angel from the Lord came down from heaven. Coming to the stone, he rolled it away and sat on it. Now his face was like lightning and his clothes as white as snow. The guards were so terrified of him that they shook with fear and became like dead men. But the angel said to the women, 'Don't be afraid. I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He isn't here, because he's been raised from the dead, just as he said. Come, see the place where they laid him. Now hurry, go and tell his disciples, he's been raised from the dead. He's going on ahead of you to Galilee. You will see him there. I've given the message to you.' With great fear and excitement, they hurried away from the tomb and ran to tell his disciples. But Jesus met them and greeted them. They came and grabbed his feet and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, 'Don't be afraid. Go and tell my brothers that I am going into Galilee. They will see me there.'" Here's the word from the Gospel this morning. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we come before you thankful for this opportunity that we've been given to gather together as brothers and sisters in Christ, as the body of Christ, to lift up your name in prayer and praise, to practice generosity and giving back and gratitude. Lord, we give you thanks to be able to hear these words from Scripture. And as we begin to explore them a little bit, as we begin to explore what we've been exploring the past 40 days during this Lenten journey, may our hearts and minds be open to receive that which your Spirit has given us, would have us receive this day. Lord, may the words from my mouth and meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in your sight, for you are our rock and our Redeemer, now and forever. Amen. So today is the completion of a long journey. I don't know if any of you feel that way or not, but this Lenten season can sometimes seem to drag on and on and on and on, especially if you gave something up, right? I know some people, by the end of this time, they're just jonesing for some chocolate. I'm just saying. But for those of us who do participate in this Lenten season of introspection, it feels as though we are wandering through a wilderness of sorts, a spiritual wilderness, where we acknowledge these hungers that we have, because, believe it or not, we all have these hungers within us. And in the midst of those wanderings, we encountered Jesus in the Scriptures that we read and explored. How many of us remember Nicodemus and being like Nicodemus, where we came to Jesus by night under the cover of darkness, and coming to Jesus are met with these really confusing conversations about what it means to be born again and what it means to claim life, and we discover we discover this promise of love that we cling to even in our darkness, perhaps especially in our darkness. We might find ourselves in the place like the woman at the well, where Jesus comes to this Samaritan in the middle of the day. Perhaps we, like her, just wanted to avoid people, because people are the best, right? Perhaps we just wanted to be alone. We just wanted some solace. We just wanted some solitude. We didn't want to be bothered because everybody knows our story. Everybody else knows where we've been, and it seems like nobody else cares for us as a result. And so we're just trying to avoid as best we can. And then this Jesus fella comes up to us in the middle of the day and lays bare before us that he knows every single detail, every single facet of our life. And we realize how vulnerable we are before Jesus in that moment. And then he has the audacity to tell us, "But I still love you. Here you are, feeling as though you're splayed before Jesus, vulnerable, seen through and through, and yet you're told, but I still love you." So what do? You go off and tell everybody, even those you are trying to avoid. Perhaps we found ourselves in situations where we felt like the blind man, where Jesus comes along and rubs mud in our eyes. That seems insulting, seems awkward, seems difficult. And yet at the end of the experience, what happens is we wind up seeing so much more clearly than we could have possibly ever imagined. Those moments in our lives where you feel like, why is Jesus letting this happen to me? Why is God letting this happen to me? And then you find at the end of the day, the spiritual clarity that you've never had before. That's a big day, isn't it? And then you go off and tell other people, or other people hear about it, and they don't believe it. They still write you off as the same blind person that you were before, but it doesn't matter. Because no matter what they say about you, you're still reveling in the light and the love and the hope and the joy that Jesus made clear to you. So let the haters hate, right? Then the stone. Oh, that stone that we hide behind. That stone that we get behind. That stone that we allow to crush our hopes, to crush our joy. That stone that blocks our way forward and cuts off our air supply. Jesus commands it to be rolled away. And what happens? It gets rolled away. And even in our moments where we felt like death had claimed us, in those darkest moments in our lives, we see the stone being rolled away, and like Lazarus, we step out blinking our eyes, perhaps seeing true light for the first time. And we wept tears of joy and of hope, and we clung to Jesus, just wanting to stop and dwell in the moment, to remain in that space, to set up camp, to just be with Jesus, like on Transfiguration. On top of that mountain, when Peter sees Jesus lit up, says, "Let's stay here forever." We feel like that sometimes, and yet what does Jesus do? He keeps moving forward, never staying still. But just because Jesus kept moving forward, though, it didn't mean that we couldn't still be with him. And so we followed. We didn't want this light to dim or our life to fade that we had just discovered in Jesus. So we went with him, waving our palm branches, throwing our clothes on the ground before Jesus so that not even the donkey's feet would get dirty from the dust from the city streets. We're shouting with joy and hope these words, Hosanna, and save us and claim us and want us, and we are yours for now and always yours. And even so, in the midst of the praise, in the midst of the adulation, in the midst of these promises that we will never leave Jesus' side, we know that these words are acknowledged. But he did so with this look of sadness in his eyes that we didn't understand. Our joy was real. Our commitment was deep. We were his, and he kept moving on. Thursday, Maundy Thursday, we saw at the table as he lifted the bread, informing us, declaring that this bread was somehow, some way, him, his body, which had been broken into as many pieces as were needed to distribute to his disciples. Somehow broken supernaturally into as many pieces as necessary to also be enough for us today and for disciples moving forward tomorrow. And yet we ate with clouded eyes and confused minds. Why did this bread need to be him? I don't get it. The cup he raised, giving thanks for the fruit of the vine and sweetness that we would drink. Then he gave it to us and said to drink, because it was him, his blood, his very life poured out as though a sword had pierced his side and flowing down to cover us, to cover our sin, all that would keep us from him, that would keep us from clinging to him, as we had just promised we would days before, over and over and over again. This spiritual drink we took in, tasting the bitter and the sweet at once, experiencing both the pain and the promise at once. And as we partook of that spiritual drink, we noticed the burn that it had going down our throats as we stared into Jesus' eyes and heard his words that betrayal was to come. We prayed with him in the garden at night. At least we tried to. We tried to stay awake. But you know the phrase, we're only human. And sleep overtook us. And somewhere along the way, we realized during the course of our Lenten journey that we stopped walking with Jesus. Somewhere along the way, he kept going forward, but we hung back. And as the spiritual sleep overcame us, we left him alone to rail against the night and succumb to the will of the one who sent him. But again, Jesus moved forward, and we tried to walk with him. On Good Friday, we heard the readings of Jesus being met with swords and clubs, with hatred and fear. We walked with him as they tore him away from us and beat him and abused him. Then they laid him a sentence of death and hung him on a cross of shame. And if we had still managed to hang on in some way, shape, or form, this part he did alone. We may have thought that we walked with him. We certainly promised that we would, no matter what. But we did stop. And it was our fear that tripped us up again, wasn't it? How many times had he told us not to be afraid? How many times have we heard Jesus say, do not be afraid? And yet, in our fear, we deserted him in this hour. We denied him in our fear. In our fear, we betrayed him. Now we may see ourselves through the eyes of the various witnesses of the cross, whether through the soldiers or the women or the man who carried the cross or through Joseph of Arimathea or Nicodemus, maybe through the eyes of his own mother. But at the end of the day, we stop and we realize this was a journey that he did on his own. This road that he walked on to a place called Golgotha. Now Jesus walks alone down those palm-strewn streets out to the hill, and he gave himself up for us. And the world wept, and the world shook, and the world descended into darkness. And as Jesus hung on that cross, he gave himself up and drew that last breath. And in the midst of that last breath, we found ourselves in a spot where it felt like the end of a long road had finally come. Perhaps we looked at each other in the stillness of that moment, saying things like, well, it was a good run. But now we're at the end of the line. Nowhere left to go. With the train at its last stop, the conductor telling us it's time to exit. Even though we don't have a destination to go to, we just know end of the line. There's a personal darkness that we experience that sets in on Good Friday for us. When we realize the end, and we all know death. We know what it's like to lose someone in our life. It's permanent. There's no coming back. End of the line. It's our dead end. No pun intended. Perhaps we even still felt that stillness present with us yesterday on Saturday, as we ruminated over what we had experienced the night before. We gasp for the breath that now escapes us in this spiritual darkness as we wonder what happened to hope, gasping for breath as though we're gasping after the run of a marathon, and we can't breathe without feeling that pain of exertion, without feeling that soreness of our diaphragm that is desperately trying to bring that desperately needed air into our lungs. But there's nothing except that stillness, nothing but this emptiness that seems to press down on us with this weight that's too heavy to bear, and all we can think about is that death. His death, and then eventually our death. He carried us with him when he went. When he breathed his last, he took the air out of our own lungs, and now we lie gasping for life. It's hard not to think about death in those moments where we lose someone, especially when the one that brings us life is the one who just died. And when we think of death of those who went on before us, we may find ourselves heading out to the cemetery just to look, just to see, just to honor the loved ones that went on before us, to see the only reality that we know anymore, the only certainty that we still have, his death and eventually ours. So we go look at these monuments of people who once were but are no longer. That's what the Marys did that morning. They went to the cemetery. They went to this tomb to pay last regards, give final words of homage, to say thank you one last time, never quite knowing if those words actually get heard or not. Nothing else to hope for, just death, but maybe this is the least that they could do. But then life surprised them. And we're not talking about a quiet and unassuming life that surprised them, mind you. No. This wasn't even just hearing a bird singing outside your window to let you know that it's a new day. No. Nothing that small. No, the earth shook. This big rock that had encased the tomb, that had closed this tomb, had been rolled away. And on top of this rock sat this angelic being of light that came down and sat on the stone as if it was a royal throne that it was just keeping warm for someone else. No, this was a big sign that life was still there. Nothing small, nothing subtle about it. And when this angelic being spoke, when this being of light spoke, it was like an organ playing, like strings being plucked, like notes reverberating through the air. It almost sang with these words, "Do not be afraid." Again, those words come up. And we're beginning to come to this realization that maybe death isn't our final nemesis. Maybe death isn't our big enemy. It's fear. The fear of death, yes, but also the fear of abandonment, the fear of failure, the fear of disappointing the one that we love more than life itself, the fear that we're not good enough, the fear that we're not lovable, the fear that we don't have worth or value. It's those fears that we are gripped by. It's those fears that cripple us. It's those fears that limit us in ways that we can barely comprehend. And it's that fear that makes us make decisions in our lives that lead us to the feeling of death. Those fears lead to death, but it's the fear that brings us to it. So this being of light sings to the Marys and sings to us today, "Do not be afraid." Those words must have left his mouth with a smile because he knew. Oh, he knew. He was in on this divine joke. And the Marys, they were there to set up the punchline. As he says to the Marys, "I know you seek the dead one, the died one, the killed one. There isn't such a person here. No death here, even in the place where death should be. No death here. Jesus, the dead one, never heard of him. I can give you directions to a Jesus, the risen one, though. Go." But go where? Where do we go from here? We get to realize that death has lost its sting, that death has been conquered. Where do we go from here? Home. Go home. Go home to the place you've run from because it bores you. Run home, the place you run to because you think it will keep the world at an arm's length as you put yourself underneath the comforters. But somehow it fails to do so on a regular basis. Go home, and there you will see him surrounded by the familiar that now looks different because he breathed life into you. Go home, the place that seemed like it was black and white for so long, to realize, oh my, there's color now. Go home and begin to experience a richness of life that you could have never imagined, even in the midst of the most ordinary surrounded by the ordinary that now crackles with the lightning of divinity, the earthquake of love that is stronger than death itself. Go home to the place that you have felt most alone in your life, and know that you will never be lonely again. Go and see the world in your own backyard. Go and see heaven and the earth that you know best. And so the Marys, they run. No more walking. They run. Because they can't think of anything else to do, and they can't think of any reason not to. They run full of hope and the fear that simply won't release its grip on them. We are human, after all. We still have these fears that are taunting us from the back of our minds. These fears that seem so threatening. And yet, the Marys, even in the midst of their fear, they still run with excitement. They still run with hope. They no longer let fear control their decisions moving forward. That is a message to hear. We have life, and we no longer need to fear. When we encounter Jesus Christ, when we encounter the world around us, when we encounter friends and families, when we encounter the strangers in our midst, even when we encounter the ordinary, we don't need to allow fear to control us anymore. Instead, run with the excitement that we have hope. Run fueled by the joy that is pulsing through our veins. Run in spite of the fear that still holds on to us. We run with a word. We run with a message that you will see him. Not the dead one who is hung on a cross. Not the one who was stripped and beaten and spat upon. Instead, you will see the risen one, the alive one. You'll see him where you live, at home. You will see him. That's the message of Easter. Where once you thought you saw the dead end of the story, you're just now realizing that you're seeing just the beginning now. And in that seeing, you'll be able to breathe deeply again, to breathe freely again. No more darkness, no more pain. No longer do we need to let fear drive our lives and steal our joy into hope. No longer do we need to let fear drive us to death, because death has lost its sting. Death has been conquered because of these words. That he is risen, and he is risen indeed. Happy Easter. Let us pray. God, we come before you, and we know that we have plenty of fears that drive us day in and day out, much to our chagrin. And yet, we see where the Marys ran in spite of their fear. We see where the Marys ran fueled by hope and joy. We see where they ran with life. May we, Lord, do the same. Let us no longer allow fear to take the driver's seat of our lives. Let us instead hold on fast to this hope that we know that we get to see your Son again, with the knowledge that we no longer need to fear. Lord, thank you for your Son, Jesus Christ, and thank you for this resurrection that shows us a new and better way to move forward. May we run. May we run in such a way that the world around us sees it and knows it and knows you as a result. Lord, we love you and we trust you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. We meet again, my friends. May the road rise up to meet you, the wind be always at your back, the sun shine warm upon your face, and the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, know that he is risen. He is risen indeed. And all along, you're being held in the palm of the Almighty's hand. Amen.